College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Virginia head coach Tony Bennett. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. A reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. Make sure to subscribe, like, and rate the show. And please feel free to leave us comments. And check out collegehoopstoday.com for podcast archives, stories, breaking news, and analysis on the greatest sport that we have on our globe. And I want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know, it's easy bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, we are getting closer, fellas, ladies, gentlemen, everybody, to the start of the 21-22 college basketball season. 3 weeks from tomorrow, that will be Tuesday, November 9th. That will be the day of the Champions Classic and opening night in college basketball. I was on the road again last week, saw a slew of teams. I'm going to go through them one by one. Saw Seton Hall on Monday, my big takeaway. Syracuse transfer Kadari Richmond will be the most physically imposing lead guard that Kevin Willard has had since he had Isaiah Whitehead during the 15-16 season. Richmond is bigger than Whitehead at 6'6", and also he is an incredible passer. Kadari Richmond this season has a chance, and this is not hyperbole, to be a first-team All-Big East caliber player. I went to the Midwest then on Tuesday, saw Indiana and Purdue. Indiana, to me, looks like a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big Ten. They should be a better shooting team than they were last year. This is year one, obviously, under Mike Woodson. The big thing that I noticed at Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis, the All-American big man, who has not attempted a three-point shot during his college career, was taking and making threes. Will that happen when games start? To be determined. And as far as Purdue goes, Purdue is a team that I think you can say this without hesitation is in a Final Four or bust type situation, because anything less than an appearance in the Final Four will be a disappointment for this Purdue team. And there's been a lot of chatter about the idea of Travion Williams and Zach Edey potentially playing together this season. Don't count on it. Don't count on it at all. I saw practice in West Lafayette last week. I think it's going to be very rare that these two players are on the floor at the same time together. And I do think that Purdue has two other very talented front court players and two freshmen, Trey Kaufman Wren and Caleb First, one of whom will start in the beginning of the season when Mason Gillis serves a multi-game suspension for an OWI. Also saw Butler last week. The Bulldogs are solid as a rock. They've got veteran experience back with Aaron Thompson, also Bryce Enzi and Bryce Golden. I think Butler's going to be a team that could be an NCAA tournament contention. And with fans coming back to arenas and with Hinkle Fieldhouse again putting 9,000 in there for home games, I think you're going to see Butler again have one of the dominant home courts in the Big East. Would not shock me to see Butler as a bubble team in January or February. And then I closed out my week on the road in Illinois. It was an early practice in Champaign. And this is the most condensed way I can give a synopsis of Illinois. You've got an All-American at point guard, in Andre Curbelo. You've got an All-American at center in Kofi Coburn. And you've got three graduate players between them. Damonte Williams, Trent Frazier, and Jacob Granderson. Illinois's got a shot, again, to win the whole damn thing. Now, Duke and North Carolina have always had a chance to win the whole damn thing, and that's really the way it's been, let's just say, for the last 30 to 40 years or so, but there's a change in the ACC a little bit. There's a passage. Hubert Davis is taking over for Roy Williams. This is also the last go-around for Mike Krzyzewski at Duke before John Shire takes the helm. Is Tony Bennett now the new dean of the ACC? We'll find out when the head coach of Virginia, Tony Bennett, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Virginia is again expected to be one of the top teams in the ACC. The Cavaliers are coached by Tony Bennett. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, you know, obviously brushing up for this chat, I made sure to obviously review everything you've said and all your recent discussions about your team, but there's one thing that's been ignored, and it's been ignored, I feel like, intently, because you haven't really been pressed on this. Do you think there's a need for a third installment in the Creed series?
As we've talked about before, the first one was excellent. The second one was good. Only if it can go from good to better. It can't be... That third one's always tricky, although we talked about Rocky III was sound. But we need a solid effort if we're going with three. Otherwise, don't do it. That's
well, the word is on the street that they're going to have, you know, the main character fight Clubber Lang's son. It feels like a little bit of a stretch.
Ooh, well, like I said, sometimes the best laid plans lead to waste. We'll see. But I did enjoy it for sure, the first one. And I did like the second one.
Tony, too, we never hit on this, but I know that you are a child like I am of the 70s and the 80s. During COVID, during all the time that you had, did you ever have time to binge watch Cobra Kai?
I was told by many people to check that out because I loved Karate Kid. You know, that was great. And I use that analogy. It's funny. I'll tell our players, you know, when you're talking about, hey, being active with your hands, ball pressure, I'll talk about it. I said, you know, you remember the movie Karate Kid? When, you know, Mr. Miyagi, like, hand, wax on, wax off, when he's making them, like, how you got to be active with your hands. And I'll tell our guys that, and they'll kind of look at me with this empty look, and I realize that's not the Karate Kid they watch. They watch the one with Will Smith's son, where I don't know if they had that scene. So, you know, I go back to that. But I loved it, and a lot of people told me we should watch it. And my wife watched one episode, and she gave it a lukewarm. So okay. We never got to it. So I'm hopeful I can do it at some point, but no, I didn't.
Well, obviously, like Ralph Macchio in 1984, quick reflexes have been obviously the backbone of that Virginia defense since you've been in Charlottesville. And you had a season, just like everybody else, unlike any other last season, especially in terms of the conclusion of last year. How would you describe for Virginia, because it was so bizarre and so unique at the same time, your final week to 10 days of last season?
Yeah, that was a smooth transition, by the way. The Ralph Macchio quick reflexes to the defense. I'm impressed with, I got to say. So, no, it really was. And that was a lot of what college basketball was. I felt bad because I thought we were really trending in the right direction how we were playing. We played really well at Louisville, won the regular season ACC, and we were playing, you know, a team in Syracuse who I thought was tough, good, playing good basketball. We had a really dramatic win. Reese Beekman hit a last second shot in the ACC tournament. And then obviously we got the news of the positive test. So we didn't even know we were going to, as I've probably been well documented, are we even going to get to play in the NCAA tournament? We don't get to try to win the conference tournament. And, you know, that just having kind of the one day of official prep, all that, it was strange. And, you know, that doesn't take anything away from how well Ohio played, and we still had our chances, but it was different. And, but I'm still glad we got to play and got to do it as hard as it was. But that kind of capped how the season was, I think, with the COVID year. And, you know, you move on from it. But again, those guys, they get to have a ACC regular season ring. They played, they got a chance to get into the NCAA tournament, even though we lost it under those circumstances. It still was a good way to, you know, experience the year compared to the alternative, which was no basketball at all. So they got that.
Now, Tony, you've obviously dealt with all sorts of situations in your coaching career, incredible highs, incredible lows, but the situation that you dealt with not being able to prepare like a normal team prepares for the NCAA tournament and then play a game was uncharted territory. What did you say to your team in the locker room after the game against Ohio?
Yeah, after the game, I think stuff's overrated. When you lose your last game of the year, guys, it's hard to really communicate. You're all, obviously, you try not to overreact. You try to be grateful for what they gave you all year. But that was, it was like you said, such a unique setting. And I mentioned this at our ACC media day. The one thing that caught my eye as a coach, you're always looking for things, even when those moments that maybe give you a spark of hope. And I saw Caden Shedrick after that game. He walked up. He didn't play much. He kind of battled a mono-like illness most of the year. He walked up to Reese Beekman and he put his hand around his head and said, "We're gonna be back, and we're gonna keep fighting." You know, I thought because those are two young guys. I took them both to ACC Media Day. I said that's good, like that they felt this, because you always want to grow from that experience. So I was hopeful for that. But for the guys like, you know, Sam Hauser and Jay Huff. When at the time I didn't know it was going to be Trey Murphy, I thought, well, Trey will come back, and have a great year. And, you know, he's obviously, I'm so excited for his future in the NBA, but I really felt for those guys who it was their last, and Thomas Wolven-Tenzi, just guys that it was their last go around. And that was a hard way, because they didn't really get fair is not the right word, but the chance to prepare in the right way. But, you know, they played hard, and that's the beauty of sports and the NCAA tournament. The one and done is, I've faced both sides of it. It's just, it's how it goes.
No, it does go that way sometimes. And, you know, early in the season, Tony, Virginia, as you know, you obviously know and we're dealing with every day, was not reflecting one of your vintage Virginia teams. You gave up 98 points to Gonzaga in late December. But then you finished 14-4 after that game leading up to Selection Sunday. How'd you do it?
Well, I thought we just... You know, it was a team that was newer, and now this team this year is the newest I've ever had. We don't have much Virginia experience with multiple years, with the exception of Kia Clark. But I think, you know, we had guys that hadn't played in those spots. So I think we were sort of struggling to find how do we have to play to give ourselves the best chance to be as good as we can be. And we learned that through, you know, that Gonzaga game, as hard as it was to get beat like that. Boy, that made us say, okay, we got to adjust some things. We lost early to a tough San Francisco team. All those early season losses, they sort of refined us and said, let's figure out how we can be good. And then guys really started playing. Trey Murphy really took off. He played well, and we adjusted some things offensively. We weren't a great defensive team last year. We did the best we could, and I thought that you know, was something we couldn't. Some teams we could win games with our defense. Last year we didn't. We relied so much on our shooting, and, you know, with Jay Huff and Sam and Trey, that we were sometimes a little bit victim to if the shots were dropping or not, like most teams are. But that team, I thought, started maximizing, started coming, and then again they played good basketball. And again, it was an honor to win the league. The league wasn't as good as it's been, the ACC last year, and I say that without taking anything away from the championship, but it was a pretty, from an ACC standard, it was a pretty average to, I'd say, below average year. Still good teams, excellent players, but and I think we just figured out a way to win close, and that was sort of the storyline with that team.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, as always in sports, we turn the page, and you're going to start a new chapter now in a couple of weeks as we get set for the 21-22 season. Virginia does not return a double-figure score from last season. Your initial feelings, you know, a couple of weeks in the practice of the group you're about to coach?
Yeah, I think the newness is real. You feel that in terms of, We've been fortunate here to have so much continuity, and things that are established with guys, even if they haven't played a lot, they've been in the program, they know what we expect from all parts of it. So there's a lot of newness, with the exception of Kia Clark, who's had multiple years of playing good minutes. We really have no one else. Reese Beekman is important. He played as a first-year freshman, a lot. So, you know, you have him with 1 year under his belt, and then the rest are either, you know, two transfers that are going to be, you know, very important for us, and the rest are all just guys that haven't played a lot. So you're taking a team that, you know, you're trying to get the experience and get the habits and the discipline that takes time, and that's sort of where we're at. And you see flashes of some good things, and then you see stuff where like, yep, we got a ways to go. And, you know, I'm always so real with our team and what we need to do. And like I said, you always stay patient and hopeful, but you got to attack it and be realistic of where you got to get to.
Well, you had mentioned Reese Beekman, who, again, you know, did play a lot as a freshman. You know, players always make their biggest jump for their freshman to their sophomore year. From an offensive perspective, what elements can we expect out of Reese Beekman this year that maybe we didn't see a year ago?
Well, I just told him, and part of that was even taking him to the ACC Media Day, being, you know, he's got a very good feel for the game. He understands that he has natural instincts defensively that you just can't teach, with reflexes, speaking of Ralph Macchio, and anticipation. But he, you know, wanted to be more assertive and aggressive. Now he knows what he knows. He had that year in his belt trying to use his penetration. He worked hard. He and Kihei worked hard on their shots in the offseason, and they've improved them. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, that's Kyle Guy out there stroking threes, flying off screens, but they're doing things from a, you know, working on their game, an aggressive standpoint that we're going to need, because we don't have this, we don't stretch the floor like we did last year. So I want a guy like Reese to be more assertive and figure out things, using him some ball screens more, all that kind of stuff, where anything he can give us, you know, we're going to need it from those guys who have the experience, and then be a great defender.
Well, anytime, you know, you don't return a double-figure score, you're always naturally thinking about offense. But I look at the combination of Beekman, who you just mentioned was a great defender, and Kihei Clark, who we've known as a great defender, as being an absolute nuisance for the opponents to try and run offense against. When you think of the dynamic of those two on the ball defensively, how lethal can it be on that side of the floor?
Yeah, I think that's where every team is different. You look at your team and say, what do we have returning? And those two have to be playing defense at a high level, and they just have to bring that. And I, you know, I challenged our team, you know, can you be a team that can figure out ways to be, you know, so effective offensively? You know, Francisco Cafaro and Caden Shedrick, they're different than Jay Huff, but they're a little more, you know, mobile, active, or physical. Jay was so skilled where he could run the floor, he could stretch offensively, block shots, but these guys have to take an identity in being, you know, rugged, tough, active, mobile, rim protectors, anchor our defense. And so, yeah, you got to sort of capitalize on that. So I'm hoping that, you know, those two guards and then some of those other guys, that their identity will be harder to score against. It hasn't looked that way quite yet in practice, so that's why I'm cautiously optimistic. But I know that's a direction we'll have to go. And you're dead right that Kihei and Reese have that experience, and they've got to kind of have an identity and take a level of, you know, confidence in that, like we got to be a difference maker on that defensive end collectively.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, transfers at Virginia are nothing new. Anthony Gill was a great player for you who transferred from South Carolina. Obviously, Sam Hauser last year was sensational. Those players redshirted, and you had kind of a year in the system. I know that you won a national championship with Braxton Key, who was a key role player as an immediate eligible transfer, but two guys you're bringing in, Armon Franklin from Indiana and Jaden Garner from East Carolina, have to be consistent producers for you. How different is it when you don't have that redshirt year, and you're probably not going to have it moving forward, and now what is the time in college basketball, which is essentially like speed dating instead of recruiting?
Well said, yeah. No, I think it's just, you know, that's where it is at in college basketball. And Trey Murphy actually would, you know, didn't sit out, and he had a, you know, it took him a bit. It even takes guys that have redshirted a year a bit to get into the swing of things. But I also think, you know, it's a compliment. When a transfer comes in, you know, they're a reflection. The good things they do are a big compliment to, you know, what Coach Dooley and Coach Miller did at Indiana and East Carolina for Jaden Gardner and Armand. Same thing with Trey Murphy. Like, when those guys come in and they do stuff, they've been coached hard and they've been coached well. That's just the reality of it. So you get the benefit of that experience, which is really important. And, yeah, every system's different, so there's some adjustments. But They just have to be ready. And my philosophy on bringing in transfers for the most part is, you know, you're bringing them in to play, to have an opportunity, because they're not transferring to just be a fringe guy or sit out. I mean, unless just a situation occurs. Armand and Jaden are going to have really good opportunities to be a big part of this, and that's why they came. And so, you know, you'll have that opportunity for them, and you got to rely on the experience they had there, and they just got to keep learning. And there's no question a year in the system, if you're learning it while you're redshirting and developing, is better, but that's probably not reality anymore, as you mentioned.
No, it's not reality, and redshirting guys, which your program has done, Villanova has done, doesn't seem like reality. But there's a guy in your system that I think is being a little bit overlooked. You've referenced him a couple of times, and that's Francisco Cafaro. You know, when you won a national title, obviously people are going to remember Kyle Guy and DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome. But Jack Salt was a big part of that. And Tony, he also, I remember, you know, nobody remembers this really probably, but he had an uncanny ability on offensive rebounds to not grab the ball, but tip it out to your guards and reset the shot clock. Are there any elements of Jack Salt that you see in Francisco Cafaro?
Yeah, I think they're both very physical players. You know, that Jack, his physicality, whether it was, you know, I was fortunate enough to coach Aaron Baines at Washington State. And I remember Aaron came in and he was a bit, he was always rugged and tough, but a little bit crude to start, right? But he was so physical and he was relentless on the glass and he played. And he got better and better the more he played. And that's a great story. Aaron Baines, what he did after college, and he just kept doing it. And, you know, Jack Salt, those guys have a place. Francisco Cafaro, we call him Poppy. Some guys call him Fran. But, yeah, no, you need physicality at this level. You know, there are certain games. Jack Salt's impact in the Purdue game in the Elite Eight was significant. I mean, he had a battle, and it just wore people down. And there are different games. And I think a guy like, you know, even Caden Shedrick and Francisco, they understand. They're willing guys that will run the floor. They'll rebound. You know, they're willing screeners. They do the dirty work stuff, and then they benefit from those. And those guys are significant, and that physicality and the stuff, like you said, how Jack would do that, that's important. Jack was such a tactician, though, in terms of helping his teammates, you know, doing those things. And those guys are, because they don't have as much experience, they're coming in that direction and improving. But they're all going to have those two. They're going to have opportunities, and that's, I think, important for them in their growth as players.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett now joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you had mentioned it was a little bit of a different year last year in the ACC. This year is going to be different, too, because we're going to have a new coach at North Carolina, Hubert Davis, taking over for Roy Williams. Then in a year, John Shire is going to take over for Coach K. As we see this passage now in what is, you know, always one of the more fabled leagues in the sport, what are your feelings now moving forward without coaching this year against Coach Williams and next year against Coach Krzyzewski?
Well, in full disclosure, when I was at Washington State as a head coach, those are two of the guys that drew me to this league. And it's out of respect. I remember being at Washington State and I just had this notion, I just wanted to see, as a coach, can I come into a league and establish a program, and as a coach, can I test myself against the storied programs and the storied coaches of Coach K and Coach Williams? I wanted that chance to just see. And sometimes, as they say, be careful what you wish for, because, I mean, the talent those programs have, the coaching that they have, they were obviously elite, and they're the blue bloods for a reason. And so, but I remember – just that's how I always was, even as a player. Like, I wanted that chance just to see. Didn't know if I could do it, but I wanted to see. And so that was not the only reason, but a big reason why I chose to come to the ACC from Washington State. And trust me, I had my battles trying to go against Ben at UCLA, you know, and he had three straight Final Fours. And there's great coaches in the Pac-10 at the time, but those two and those two programs were what drew me. So, you know, it was an honor to coach against Coach Williams, and I have great respect for, you know, that program. Same with Coach K, obviously, what they've done for college basketball for, at the time, I would have said younger coaches like me, but I can't say that anymore. I'm 52. They meant a lot, and I'm so glad. Anytime you can last in today's day and age this long in this profession says something. And I'm so glad Coach K goes out on his terms. And I'm so glad Coach Williams, they go out on their terms. And, you know, now they can do what they want to do in a lot of ways. So they've meant a lot to the league, to the game, and they have, you know, really good. Hubert is such a good man. I don't know John as much, but I respect him. But I know they have very good people replacing them, and obviously they have the knowledge, and they've been tutoring under some of the best coaches you'll find.
Well, now, you know, like you said it, you know, you've been at Virginia so long, guys like you and Coach Boeheim and Leonard Hamilton are kind of like, you know, the deans of the ACC as we see this
and
passage.
And Larinaga and Bray. Now, there's still some old guys. I'm not the old guy yet, so don't go there yet.
We're all getting older, Tony. It's inevitable, unfortunately. I'm seeing it. But you're right. Now, Bray definitely has a long tenure as well, and so does Coach Larinaga. Now, as you're... You know, quest continues here for another season. You know, I'm curious, obviously, anytime a coach wins a national title, they join an elite club. But how does the hunger you have now to win another national title compare to the hunger you had versus the 18-19 season where you won it all?
It's interesting. You always bring out these cool thoughts in my mind when I do a podcast with you. But and don't quote me exactly, but I'm pretty sure this is it. John Wooden had a quote, and my dad shared it with me, and it seems like it'd be the opposite, but this is what he said. He said, I hope all my friends in coaching college basketball win a national championship. And he said, and I hope all my enemies in college basketball coaching win multiple national championships. And, you know, you got to pause and think about that because, you know, there's so much joy when you win one. And I think his point was, okay, then those who win a second one, like he did and many others, I think there's this reality that sets in, like, it's not the end-all, be-all. There still is more. Yeah, it's good, but it's like, man, you kind of – it's a reality check. So, look, am I thankful I won one? Yes. Does it make me want to win a second one? It almost says – I thought the quote would be the opposite. You're almost tormented because I got to get another one. I've heard Billy Donovan say, you know – one time, Coach Izzo, who's one of the greatest coaches in college basketball, yeah. I think he's just awesome, said, you know, if I don't win a second national championship, it's going to make me question, you know, some of my coaching. And maybe just said it in jest, and maybe, again, I misunderstood it. But Coach Donovan came back and said, no way. He's like, trust me, he's won multiple. He said, that does not define your career. And sometimes when you win a second or third one, and it kind of alluding to what Coach Wooden said, you realize it's not all about that. So, my prayer, my hope is that I have a healthy perspective with this. You taste it and you want to go back in the worst way, but you can't let it consume you and ruin you, and that you're grateful for what you had and you just keep trying to coach in the right way for the right reasons, especially in today's climate, John. This is a different time with all that's going on with one-time transfer, name, image, and likeness and all that. And I'm not saying those are evil things or bad things because there's some positives, but it's going in a direction that no one's very sure about, and it's becoming more pro-like and free market. And it just makes you pause and say, okay, I got to keep doing it because it's hard. Coach K said it. He goes, if it's not recruiting anymore and it's just negotiating, well, that's a place that college athletics and some, you know, those who've done it right have never been. And I know there's programs that don't do it right, and they'll have to answer for that someday. And that's another story, but you try, it's important to still hold the values of the game and influencing the young men and the pursuit of other things than just, you know, winning a national championship, doing those things. But that's got to be a part of it. You need to pursue that for all your worth in the right way and still not lose sight of your influence in young men. So that's my answer. And I fail at that often because I cross that line, and we all do as coaches, but you got to fight that balance and understand why you're in the spot you're at, and that, in my opinion, it's all a gift, and that's how I try to look at it.
Well, you know, Tony, I was up at Syracuse practice a couple of weeks ago, and I was sitting with Coach Boeheim, who obviously you and he have had so many memorable games over the years. And, you know, he famously said in 2003 when he won a national title right after the game that he was no different a coach than he was prior to that game or prior to that NCAA tournament. Did you feel any different as a coach after you won it all in 2019?
Not really. I was almost... I heard a guy say, they would always ask him, they'd say, how you doing? I get this guy from around. He always says, best day ever. That's his motto. A guy named George Morris. That's every time. How you doing, George? Best day ever. I was reading this book on this guy. They asked him, how you doing? And his response was always, better than I deserve. And honestly, that's kind of the feeling I had when we won it. Like, I'm humbled, man. I don't deserve this. I didn't even know I was going to be a coach and how well it's gone and the young men I've got to coach. So I almost felt like this was awesome, and I was thankful for our players and me, and it was such a joy. I love competition and the joy of that. But it almost felt like, man, this is – I got to experience this, and I'll always be grateful for it. So, no, it doesn't change anything. I mean, you always have that. It can't be taken away from, you know, the memories with your players. But it doesn't make you think, boy, now, boy, it was that clever X's and O's. I actually think coaches that either have been let go or fired, or when you're really in down years and you're struggling – that's when you have to do your best coaching, and that's the time you grow and, I think, figure out more about yourself than when it just goes well and sometimes you either win championships or you're always at the top of the heap.
Well, Tony, you know, it's interesting, and now, and as I say this again, we all are getting older. As I'm deep into my second decade on this beat, I've noticed that timing and things aligning a certain way have a lot to do with the coaches that are fortunate enough to win it. Like, nobody talks about this, but in 18, you guys lost a lottery pick before the NCAA tournament in DeAndre Hunter, and it's not an excuse, but, you know, you lost one of your best players, and then you could have easily lost the Purdue game in 19, but held on to beat Syracuse in 16 and won it all that year. So in a lot of ways, you have to be really good, but good fortune has to do a lot with it too.
100%. I think I value the regular season championship a lot. I know Coach Knight, Bobby Knight, was such a big proponent. That's the test of consistency. You know, it's harder now because the leagues aren't balanced and schedules aren't as balanced in your league, but it is still the test over time. And then there's the different tests, which, you know, obviously are society, the NCAA tournament, which is exciting, but it has to do with, are you hot? What's your matchup? Are you healthy? There's so many factors that go into it. And, you know, but in a way, I don't know if we win the national championship the next year if we didn't suffer that, and we call it that painful loss. And who knows? Maybe if DeAndre, that team was playing, they maxed out. Maybe DeAndre plays really well in the first round. We get to, you know, whatever, get to the second weekend, if you do. And he decides, you know what, I'm going to the NBA that year. I'm going to be a late first round. You never know how things play out. That's why you don't stress too much about it, and you just kind of live it moment by moment and trust what's going to happen. And and you're right, though, but to your initial thing, it doesn't make — there's so many factors going into the one and done scenario that, you know, it's a hard tournament, it's a cruel tournament, it's an awesome tournament, I think it's why it draws so many people. There's so many storylines and so many things have to align.
Well, let's focus then on the present, which is with your current team. What are the biggest keys for this team? And forget about, you know, let's talking about, you know, tangible goals or anything like that, or anything cemented, but just to be in position to again be a high seed in the NCAA tournament, one of the best teams in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to, like last year's team you mentioned, we've got to learn and establish, you know, clearly how we have to play to be our best. Every team, you always have these, you know, of course, you're going to have to be good defensively, take care of the ball. There's some non-negotiables that every team must have. But we're going to have to learn, all right, understand roles and figure out what as this season evolves, as the guys get more experiences, okay, what's our way? Clearly, what's our way? You know, and then attack it and be as good as we can. And, you know, again, I only have 10 scholarship guys this year. And then we've given right now two of our walk-ons have received scholarships. But so we have a small team. Just we decided to do that at least this year by design. So hopefully the chemistry will be good. Of course, you'll have to stay healthy. And then, you know, guys that don't have a ton of experience are going to have to grow up fast. And if they can get comfortable in their roles and we can find ways to establish ourselves, then I think we can be competitive. You know, you wouldn't look on paper and say, boy, we can really shoot the lights out. So answered a lot of questions. You know, you've lost a lot of your outside shooting, but we'll have to figure out ways. Hopefully guys have improved their shots, but find different ways to be effective and be competitive. Look, whether it's great defensively, sound with the ball, it'll be kind of a process that you're going to have to go through, and you can't shortcut that. You got to learn some things from on the go in competition.
Well, Tony, final thing now, and Virginia has not been a program to ever really do anything for flash. You guys are always so unassuming, and you're never going to like do like a big thing for, you know, Midnight Madness or the first practice. But if Tony Bennett had to walk out to a packed house at JPJ for a kickoff event, and he could come out to one 90s hip-hop song, what would it be?
Oh, there's so many. Well, last night, actually, I was sitting in there. I was watching film, and my wife was on the – she was playing cards with someone, and I threw a Man in the Mirror. I threw Can You Stand the Rain. I threw World's Greatest. I had a few flowing that I said, now, you could, I told my wife and her friend, I said, you don't appreciate what you're experiencing right now. I was playing the DJ while I was, you know, sitting there doing my stuff, but – one song. I do like Man in the Mirror. That one's in my mind, maybe just because I just listened to that. And, you know, that's but you probably want more of a hype song, right? You know, you're going to come out. Boy, the Eminem song's tough, isn't it?
Lose Yourself.
That's pretty solid. You got me. I got too many in my mind right now, but I gave you at least a few that I'd be thinking about. How's that?
Good enough, man. Well, Tony, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. You know, all the best. Start.
Let's be real. That was 30 minutes. Let's not. Let's be honest here.
We got a lot to catch up on. We got a big season ahead. But we appreciate your time. All the best starting the season. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Thanks, John. Take care.
We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. Make sure to subscribe, like and rate the show, and please feel free to leave us comments. And also check out collegehoopstoday.com for podcast archives, breaking news stories, and analysis on the greatest sport that we have on our globe. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Jim Dang, and it's, John, how far does Texas go with its plethora of transfer players and its new coach, Chris Beard, from Texas Tech? Well, I'm going to see Texas later this week in Austin. Texas has 7 players on its roster that averaged in double figures last season. I'll have a better idea at the end of the week, but I expect Texas to compete for a Big 12 regular season title and compete for a high seed in the NCAA tournament. Our next question comes from Can't Guard Jimmy, and it's, John, can Georgetown build off their bid-stealing run last year and compete for the Big East regular season title? I can't see that, Jimmy, because one of the issues for Georgetown has been keeping players in the program. We saw that. They win the Big East tournament last year. Kudus Wahab transfers to Maryland. Trey King, who transferred from Eastern Kentucky, was in a situation last week where he is no longer with the program. So player retention has been difficult for Georgetown. I think Georgetown can be very competitive behind the backcourt of Dante Harris and 5-star freshman Aminu Muhammad. But Georgetown, again, a team right now that looks more like a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big East. Our next question is going to come from Jay Ruffner, and it's, John, if Andre Curbelo is an All-American this year, like some are predicting, does Illinois finish ahead of Michigan and Purdue in the Big Ten? I think those three, and I'm going to see Michigan here in the next couple of weeks. I've seen Illinois and Purdue live. I think those three teams are at the top of the Big Ten, and I think there's clear separation. I think you have Purdue, Michigan, Illinois. Then I think you have Ohio State and Maryland and Michigan State, and then you start to get things bunched up a bit. I think the Big Ten won't be nearly as deep as it was last year. But here's something you have to remember. Sometimes when you have capable teams at the bottom of your league and the bottom is capable of eating the middle, it limits your ability to put more teams in the NCAA tournament. Just because the Big Ten isn't quite as good at the bottom, that doesn't mean that the league isn't going to have maybe the same representation in the NCAA tournament. Five Good Nuggets this week is being brought to you by Geico. Do you want to rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now, let's get to those nuggets.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, here we go. There's a big-time early season tournament in 2022 coming to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. It's the Roman main event. The field, according to sources, Baylor, Virginia, UCLA, and Illinois. Nugget number two, opening night gems. In addition to the Champions Classic, here's some big games to keep an eye out for November 9th in college basketball. Morehead State at Auburn, Boston University at Rhode Island, BU's the favorite in the Patriot League, Oral Roberts and Max Asemus at Colorado State, Siena at St. Bonaventure, Kenneth Lofton Jr. in Louisiana Tech at Alabama, and Dennis Gates in Cleveland State at BYU. Nugget number three, Bello of the Ball. Andre Curbelo last season, games where he played 30 minutes or more, averaged 10.3 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. He's ready to explode for Illinois. Nugget number four, home cooking. How about this nugget regarding Georgia Tech? The Yellow Jackets will not play a game outside the state of Georgia until December 18th. That's a major opportunity for Josh Pastner's program to build on the momentum from last year's ACC tournament title. And I'm on the road again. This is nugget number five. I'll be going to Texas. I'll see Texas, Houston, and Baylor. Try to see Rice as well as we inch closer and closer to the start of the 21-22 season. We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.